I wouldn't trade being a mom for the world, but it's also a full-time job. And that means sometimes I get less sleep than I'd like. So I make the most of the hours of sleep I do get with Cozy Earth's luxurious bedding products. Cozy Earth bedding products are crafted with temperature-regulating technology that adapts to your body's needs through all phases of motherhood. And they use only the very best fabrics, materials, and weaves, offering superior softness that invites you to sink into a world of comfort. I have the king sheets for my bed, the entire set, and I swear to you, it's like you can't wait to get in and you never want to get out. If you're a commitment phobe, that's totally fine because Cozy Earth stands by the quality and longevity of their products, so much so that you can enjoy a 100-night sleep trial and a 10-year warranty on all purchases. And just for our listeners, Cozy Earth has an exclusive Mother's Day offer. Use the code Jillian for 35% off at CozyEarth.com. That's CozyEarth.com. Cozy Earth, built to last through the hardest days and the longest nights of motherhood.
When you need to refuel between meetings or running errands, or you just want a healthy snack that squashes your hunger, Wonderful Pistachios, which come in a variety of flavors and sizes, by the way, are the perfect choice to fill you up and keep you going throughout the day. Wonderful Pistachios is also a good source of protein and a zero guilt snack. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, guys, which gives you over 10% of your daily value. And with flavors like salt and pepper, sweet chili, and seasoned salt in the shelled variety, options like chili roasted, sea salt, and vinegar or jalapeno lime in the no shell variety, you're sure to please your taste buds while snacking healthy. So check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day.
You've seen her as the star of NBC's hit show, The Biggest Loser. Now is your chance to see her live. Jillian Michaels, Maximize Your Life Tour.
It's time for you to ask, why not me? Why not me to be healthy? Why not me to be happy? Your health is the platform that your entire life is built upon. And when your health is solid, every aspect of your life will flourish. Join me as we motivate each other and maximize our lives.
Visit JillianMichaels.com for details.
It's weird.
What? Many things, but I know you're going to say something.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I hope I'm going to say something. It's a radio show.
Okay. What? It's weird.
It's like super hard to make friends as you get older. Have you noticed that?
Totally.
Why? I mean, it's unbelievable. I watch my kids, and they can, like, make friends in seconds, man. They're on the playground, and the next thing I know, my daughter's got her arms wrapped around some surfer-looking kid. She's just a little whore, hussy. And, like, my son smiles at everybody, happy at everybody. But, like, as an adult, it's, like, almost impossible. It's like dating. It's so odd that you don't want to overcall your new friend or seem weird around your new friend. It's so hard to make friends as a grown-up. And it's taken me a long time, by the way, but I have finally cultivated a good quality group of friends. Mm-hmm. And you, of course, are not one of them. But my...
I know that.
My point, though, is, God, it's really hard. And I feel like we should talk about some ways that we can kind of go about making friends as you get older.
But, you know, you're absolutely right about that. We don't want to overcall. We don't. Maybe we should call.
It's like dating. It's like a game.
I think we're skeptical of. You know, we've been burned. The older we get, the more life happenings we've had. So we're very suspicious of people too. Like, what do they want? Why do they want to be my friend? What do they want? Or I don't know.
It's true. Or you think like, oh no, they've already got their group of friends. Like as you get older, you've locked in your friends and you've hit your quota.
Yes.
It's weird. I don't know. It's just, it's like, anyway, I wanted to kind of talk about it because my contestants, it's a lot of them are going to have to give up a lot of friends. Do you know what I mean? They're going to need to build new support systems.
Oh, I see what you're
saying. And even the 20-something-year-olds are like, oh, man, it's going to be so hard to make new friends. How do I make new friends? So I wanted to go over just some ideas. And one of the things I would say is if you're growing and if you're changing and if you're leaving some old friendships behind, but I think we all do when we go through any sort of transformation, not all of our friends, but we may outgrow certain relationships. I know that I outgrew a lot of relationships in my early 30s. And as you're evolving and growing, look to the areas of your life that you're becoming more interested in. So if suddenly I think that's the thing with this CrossFit. And they're like, I'm a CrossFitter, me too. And they have like CrossFit barbecues and CrossFit.
Oh no, so there's a camaraderie.
Take a fitness class, whether it's Zumba or whether it's CrossFit or whether it's spinning or whatever. I feel like go to a class environment where you love something and that enthusiasm is contagious. It tends to bond people. You know, join a running group, something of that nature. And like I recently got into road biking and there's this whole little culture and community of road bikers. And I met them at the bike shop. So I went to the bike shop, you know, wanted to get my bike fitted. And all these guys that ride bikes, they just hang out at the bike shop. They'll get a coffee across the street and come to the bike. Oh, is that your bike? Whoa, look at that. Have you seen the new Garmin such and such for your bike? And the next thing I know, I'm like, Heidi's like, babe, are you coming home? I'm like, I'm talking to the guys about bikes.
It's like what happened to you.
Yeah, with the guy with the paddleboarding.
I'll be right home,
I'm like, babe, we're talking about Garmins. I can't come home right now. I'm riding Bob's Evo Cannondale. I do think it's, you know, I've made a whole new group of buddies. So, like, the guy that built my bike, Matt, he's like, I'll take you out. I'll show you how to use it. So then Matt and I went riding. Then Matt's friends came riding. And now I have, like, a whole new group of buds. Granted, it's sort of different than my, you know, I have a good, solid group of female friends. But at the same time, I was like, oh, I've made some new friends. This is neat. And it's hard to do. So that's one thing I would recommend. Another thing is, take a fresh look at your neighbors or your coworkers or your classmates. I think a lot of times we just presume this is somebody I work with, or this is the relationship that we're relegated to. I work with you, and we don't socialize outside of this relationship. Like Paige, my makeup artist, she's been my makeup artist for, oh my God, since season 4 of Biggest Loser. When was that, Britt? That's 2006, right?
Probably.
Yeah. And this is a person that I see, I mean, I see this woman 5 days a week, I would say, all day long. I see her more than I see my family. And yet, I was like, oh, maybe we, do you want to come over to the 4th of July party? I mean, you know, it took forever for me to go, oh, I think maybe we're friends. You should come over. And I don't know, look at the people in your life. Stop being so damn standoffish and stop trying to put people in neat little boxes. And open yourself up a little bit. Engage in a conversation. Another thing, once you've met someone who's like-minded, get to know their friends. That's how my whole little current clique evolved. Jeanette Jenkins and I connected on a flight. And the only reason we connected is because we had both been up for the Biggest Loser job. And I ended up getting the job by a fluke. And Jeanette came up to me one day on a plane and was like, I just want to introduce myself. I think you're great. And I had known that she was my alternate, although I did not ever know her. And she's like, I think you're great and what you've done for the industry is great. And we ended up talking all the way to Miami. We were on the same plane to Miami. And I just thought, this girl's what a cool chick. Like, she doesn't hate on me. She's not jealous of me. She's really just sweet and cool. And so we ended up exchanging numbers and hanging out and becoming friends. And then through Jeanette, I met my friend Kim. And then through Kim, I ended up meeting Andy. And then I ended up meeting my friend Lee somewhere else. And then I brought Lee and Carolyn into the fold. And then they met Kim and Andy. And it's kind of, once you find somebody who shares your ethics, your morals, your way of life, they generally will have a couple of friends who are the same kind of people. And you sort of expand your horizons from there. Like worm your way into these new friendships. But don't be afraid to be vulnerable. Don't be afraid to ask out a new friend. It really is like a dating relationship, man. You got to reach out. You got to be vulnerable. You got to get to know somebody.
And sometimes, honestly, sometimes you have to let go of old, like,
yeah.
And you know this in the eating community or yeah. dieting community is the same as in the recovery community. The first thing, not the first thing, but what's said in kind of your first year of recovery yeah. is you have to change your playmate. Your playmates,
really?
Your playthings, and your playground.
Wow, I love that.
Because
why have we not talked about that on the show before?
We are right now.
But it's been 6 years.
But
now?
But
now you've...
But it's true. Like, because you can't... I can only speak from recovery. I'll say it again. Is that you can't go back to those same
no,
people.
No, you cannot.
And that's the same as when you've Mm-mm. lost weight. You can't go back to those same people. You can't go back to the same place, the
nope.
same bar, the same...
No.
You can't have the same kind of play things because it just... You have to evolve. And sometimes... And it's a mourning.
It's true.
To me, it's mourning. You're mourning all those things.
Yeah. An old way of life.
Yeah.
I mean, but that's true. Like with the people on the show, I try to get their new playthings to be surfboards and bicycles and, you know, their new playground is the running group, the spin class, the new, instead of the McDonald's or the buffet or the happy hour.
The casino.
The casino. Totally. You know? Completely. And the new plaything is like, oh, the bacon shake at, you know, they look forward to these things. And it is also about, you're right, it's about a new group of friends.
Yeah. And that's that. And especially when you get older, change. Oh,
oh my it's so
God.
Hard.
When you have to change.
And
your
you got
to
be alone
work,
for a little
hard.
While, too. I mean, you got to be okay with that. I remember I had a group of friends that were just users mm. who I paid for everything and I did everything and I set up everything. And then I got to a point where I was like, I don't need this anymore in my life. I don't need to do this anymore in my life. And I got rid of all of those people. And it was lonely for a little while. It was. But I learned how to, you know what I did in the interim? All the ways that I took care of those people in my life, I started taking care of myself in those ways. And I was content.
Yeah.
And then when I was content and healthier, I started making better friendships. And I, again, like I said, I'm super proud of it because it's really hard to do. But it's something that you need to do and think about. I don't know how snappy this fitness segment is, but it's a fitness segment-ish nonetheless.
Fantastic.
Excited?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Because you had to catch me when I just stuck some chocolate in my mouth.
I know, you pig.
Mm-hmm. I like it because I like some inside dirt.
Oh.
You always have the good inside stuff on the fitnessy stuff.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Chocolate egg eater.
I know.
Okay, fine.
So good. The Reese's ones. Oh, my God.
No! Reese's is so bad for you.
Really?
What are you talking? My God, dude. It's all like hydrogenated oil and high fructose corn syrup. It's
so good.
Terrible. No, do Unreal. Unreal's much better for you.
I'm going to go find those. Oh, really? God, Reese's, though.
No, Unreal. Trust me, no.
Oh, well.
No,
wait.
You'll, it's like.
I'll do it right after I finish this one.
Yeah, okay, great. Jeez.
I'll make sure I stop. Okay.
Oh, Lord. All right. I thought we might address the top three reasons that people have trouble or give up the gym or fall out of a gym routine or have trouble getting back to the gym.
Oh, great.
Or what I think might be.
Yeah.
All right. So the first one is a new relationship. Who's guilty?
Oh, totally.
Uh-huh,
all the
Brittany.
Time.
McManus.
Mm-hmm.
Jake doesn't raise his hand. Jake's like, oh, not me. Not but like, me. Okay, now why do you guys think you do this?
Well, because you're getting laid.
But all the more reason to work out.
Oh, nobody cares. Once you get past, there's the dating part where you really behave because you want to look good. And then once you get the first one over, once the seal's broken,
no,
matter.
That's ridiculous.
It don't matter.
In fact, research shows that frequent exercisers have more feelings of sexual desirability.
Ooh.
It's
I
the truth,
that.
Man. And I haven't worked out and I feel blech.
No, I that's true. If you feel good about your body, you
yeah,
feel sexy.
You want, you, yeah, you want. Here's the thing. You got to stick with it. And I think that like part of it, they did another study about women who were morning exercisers had trouble getting out of bed because they didn't want to leave the guy to go work out.
Mm.
So here's the deal. Here's what you got to do. You got to keep working out. It's going to improve your sex life and it's going to improve the relationship because another study found that women who do their own thing in the context of the relationship, who have their own life and have their own friends and have their own hobbies, actually have happier marriages. You can't lose yourself in the relationship. You'll get depressed. The guy won't respect you. It's no good. So what you can do is work your workout into part of like a girl's night. So whether you guys go take like a Pilates plus class or a Zumba class or a body shred class together, awesome. See if the guy wants to work out with you. Hey, I'm going to take a blah, blah, blah flywheel class. Come with me. Like do it to the guy or the girl or whatever, the person you're dating. Do it with them. Be more active with them. Because we tend to think like, you drink a lot when you first start dating somebody. You remember, I don't know if you noticed that.
Do you remember those days?
Well, you do. You're like going to dinner. You're splitting a bottle of wine. You got to shift that a little bit. Yeah. You can't lose yourself. It's really important. Try to incorporate that person into activities that are fit so you can feel fit together. Remember that it's going to boost your feelings of desirability and the quality of your sex life. And it's going to make for a healthier relationship down the road.
Right.
Another one. You've been sidelined by an injury. McManus can speak about this.
Yeah.
And a lot of people think that if they can't get back to the gym at 100%,
they can't do it at all.
Yeah, they get discouraged and they don't want to go at all.
Yep.
The reality is you got to show up. And if you do, you're going to feel empowered and you're going to be able to manage the situation. You can work around the injury. You said the other day you had a heel spur, but you were doing a lot of swimming.
Yep.
You know, the thing is, no matter what's going on, if you've injured your rotator cuff, then you do lower body exercise. If you've injured the lower body, then you do low impact on a bike, on a row machine, in the pool, shadow boxing. There's ways to work around any injury. I've talked about all of it on the show. It's not impossible by any stretch of the imagination. And just because you can't go 100% where you used to be,
right?
I need you to think about, here's the winning scenario here. You show up, win. And then you give 100% of what you can in that moment. B, win. Best case scenario. There you go. Game over. Control your diet as best as possible. You're going to come out of this thing unfazed. I promise you. But if you stop working out, you're going to get depressed. Yep. You're going to get lethargic. You are going to fall out of that routine. You are going to feel out of control. It's probably going to lend you to eat for comfort.
Yes.
Gain weight.
You're going to gain weight. Yep. And it becomes this sort of compiled problem. So what you want to do is exactly what I said. You work around the injury, you show up, and you give it your best that you've got to give that day, and that's a win.
Yep.
And last but not least, something comes up and you get sidetracked. So it could be you party too hard over the holidays. I don't know. Have you ever just sort of like, I'm worried like I'm going to go on this tour and I'm not going to, you know, there's no gym. We're traveling every single day. I'm in a bus. And you sort of fall out of your routine and you kind of get out of shape. And so I'm looking at, okay, what am I going to do? All right, I'm bringing my road bike. I'm looking for hotels that have gyms so I can squeeze in a workout before a show.
Right.
I'm trying to plan ahead. But in the event that you do sort of fall off the wagon or you've been on vacation eating too much or it's over the holidays and you've partied too hard and you feel a little blah about yourself. You've gained a couple of pounds and you're not feeling as fit and you're out of the routine. You've got to just get back into it. It's that simple. I want you to just jump back in. And I don't want a small change here or a small change there. I want a full commitment. I want you to just jump back in. It doesn't mean you jump back in with regard to the fitness level. If your fitness level has gone down a bit, then don't go back where you were and get injured. But I want you to go back to the healthy eating, go back to hitting the gym, go back to meeting the friend, find something that motivates you. What's the class that you want to take? Who's the buddy that you can meet? Make sure that you're accountable. And I do that whenever I have to meet someone somewhere. Like I made plans with a friend to do the stairs in Santa Monica. I would have rather stuck needles in my eyes.
But you made the
call. But I was like, well, Jeanette's going to be there, so I got to go. You know what? I was like, yes. Oh, damn it. And she's like, Jill, don't even think of canceling on me. And I was like, okay. Ugh. And then I felt so much better after it was over. So set yourself up. Play games with yourself. Have an obligation of a friend you're going to meet. Find a class you've been wanting to take. And just jump. And then think about how much better you're going to feel when it's over. Form that emotional positive connection to the outcome. so that the behavior you don't really want to engage in is going to be that much more appealing.
Yeah. Hmm? You know, I was thinking as you were talking, not that I think of other things while you're talking. I'm very focused on what you say.
Not.
However, with your tour, why don't you fork out a few bucks?
Oh.
And take along a...
You're calling me cheap?
No, I'm just saying fork out a few bucks because this might cost you a bit of money.
Uh-oh. You know I'm being more careful.
I know, but however, you've said this in the show many times. Mm-hmm. What's more important, your health, right?
Okay.
Is take a yoga instructor with you and have for all your entourage.
Travel with a yoga instructor?
Yes.
Are you kidding me? Do you know how... Dude.
Really, is that expensive?
Oh, my God. Live Nation would go nuts.
Say, it's
there's not another bunk on a bed, on the bot. Like, because the thing is, like, all the bunks are accounted for.
This is good advice. At the theater, then.
Janice thinks she's got good advice.
I do.
Funny.
At the theater, before the show, you not just before or whenever, you say it's time for the class. And all your entourage, and I'm not just, I don't mean your entourage as in your, you know, just your people. I mean the crew, too. Everybody does a class.
All right, I'll try it. I will try it.
Yeah, just say, I would like to bring some kind of, and then that person is on the road with you. It's like Helga. Oh, there's Helga, the yoga instructor. And that, think of how that would feel for you every day.
I'm thinking about Live Nation having an attack right now. Because I'm already bringing, like, both kids, Heidi, Heather.
You could pop in a Jillian Michaels DVD.
That's what I
do that. I do. I mute myself because I'm so effing annoying.
I know.
I do. I do. I do that now that I've had kids. I do that. I know. All right.
That's what you got to do.
All right, I will.
All right. God, I'm so glad I'm here to help you. What would you do? What would you do without me?
Life would be so difficult.
Janice, my God.
Okay. Jeez. Let's talk to some people now. Okay.
I was thinking on-the-go snacks today. Snacks are great, and here's why. Because you take them with you wherever you go. If you're traveling, if you're sitting at your desk, and the idea here is, what can you bring with you so you're prepared? And you don't need, honestly, do you really need a ton of different options? I have the same snacks every single day. I pick like 3 snacks, and I rotate them, period. So here are some options that I thought we should consider. Number 1, hard-boiled eggs. They're so easy.
Oh, but they stink.
Not really, especially not if you devil them. I'll devil them for the week. So, like, I'll take hard-boiled eggs, then I scoop out the yellow, and I'll use a little Dijon mustard and just a bit of, like, a olive oil-based mayo, a tiny bit, paprika, and mush, honey mustard, too, a little honey mustard, a little Dijon, a little mayo. Paprika, put them in the egg. They're so good. They're awesome snacks. And you put them in a little Tupperware container, bam, you're out the door. You make them on Sunday, you're done. What?
No, that's true. It's just, you know, been in an office situation where my workmate has opened up a thing of eggs. And it ain't, sometimes it ain't pretty. But they are, I kid, that they are delicious.
Well, it's just, it's quick, easy, and healthy.
And you shove them in the mouth.
Yeah. Okay. All right, another one. Obviously, you can grab any piece of fruit and go. So we know that. Now, here's something, though, that I've been kind of into lately. Freeze-dried fruit. So good. Like these freeze-dried apples. So it's not dried, as in like dried out and like super sugary.
Yeah.
It's freeze-dried, fresh. So it doesn't have the extra sugar in it.
Where do you get those?
I get them at like any little market, any like little Whole Foods or Green Place or Trader Joe's. Yeah. And they've got freeze-dried peas, freeze-dried like vegetable medley, which is like corn, tomatoes, and peas, which sounds gross, but it's really good. Freeze-dried apples, freeze-dried fruit medley of like raspberries, apples, and like mango. And it's so good. Obsessed with it. I give it to the kids. She loves it. Freeze-dried strawberries. And again, like, I don't like to just have fruit. Like, I prefer you have, like, some of that with, like, a handful of nuts, which brings me to my next one. I love to go to the farmer's market, and I'll get, like, the chili lemon almonds. Heaven. Mm-hmm. I don't overeat. I work it into my calories. But they have all different flavors. They've got, like, a cinnamon cocoa powder one, which is, like, dark chocolate powder and cinnamon almonds. Mm. I mean, if you don't have a farmer's market, you can obviously go to the supermarket and get yourself some raw or dry roasted nuts.
Make your own mixture.
You can make your own mixture as well. I have a whole recipe in the Master Your Metabolism cookbook for, like, different nuts and trail mixes and things like that. But you can absolutely do that. Another thing, they make these little sort of Lunchable kind of packages, even though Lunchables are disgusting. I'm just using that as an example, but it's like little hummus things with veggie sticks. So it's like celery and carrots and a little hummus thing. And you take it with you.
Yeah.
Easy. Cheese sticks. I've got mozzarella and cheddar cheese sticks from Horizon. They're like 80, 90 calories. And then I'll pack them in a little container with some whole grain crackers. So I like this. It's like, this is a Whole Foods brand, but you don't need to do this. It's the 365 brand, and they're like Wheat Thins. But they're whole grain Wheat Thins with none of the, you know, junk that's actually in a Wheat Thin, like MSG and trans fat. You can get any kind of cracker, a Wasa cracker, a multigrain, a whole grain cracker. It doesn't matter. Put it with a cheese stick. How easy is that? You're out the door. Obviously, I have to mention Pop Chips because they're my favorite thing on the planet.
They are good.
But you take a little bag. They're 100 calories. And then what I normally do is I'll take, like, two deviled eggs, like, which is one deviled egg, like, two halves, right?
Yeah. So
about 100 calories in a bag of Pop Chips. Or Pop Chips and a piece of cheese. Or chips and dip. I'll dip them in hummus. I'll dip them in salsa. Chips and dip. It's like, simple.
That's a pretty good snack, the chips and dip.
Yeah, sure. I mean, and there's a bunch of different options. There's tortilla chips. Mm-hmm. Just don't get them fried. That's, you know, Pop Chips has a tortilla chip. You can bake tortilla chips. It doesn't matter. Chips with a little salsa or a little hummus, you're good to go. Yogurt, of course, good for any occasion. You grab it, you jam out the door. You know what else we've been living off of are these little almond butter and peanut butter packs, which have been great for the kids. There's a brand called Justin's, but there are many other brands. You can get them anywhere. There are these little 200-calorie sort of, pouches.
Okay.
And you snip off the corner, and you can put them on celery. You can put it on crackers. You can eat it straight. It's so good. Kids love it. Love it. I give Lou the chocolate almond one. Heaven. She's into it. It's, like, the greatest snack. Get creative, but... You get your little packet of turkey and, like, make little turkey and cheese roll-ups and put it in a little pack and run out the door. The idea here is, did I mention jerky?
No, but I've often wanted to ask you about jerky.
Yeah, I'm fine with the jerky. I need you to get it. Again, I hate to say this, I prefer it organic, so it doesn't have MSG and all the artificial flavors, like smoke flavor, this flavor, that flavor, like... I'm fine with, like, salmon jerky, turkey jerky, beef jerky. I really know where I stand on meat. Like, if you're going to get processed meats in particular, I'm fine with the jerky. It has to be organic.
It's not too salty, eh?
Transient mineral. If you're working out and you're not consuming massive quantities of salt, it's like you can go up to 2,000 milligrams of salt and be fine.
Yeah, okay.
And if you've got high blood pressure, you know, but 2,000 milligrams of salt a day is... fine. If you're 5,000 milligrams, yeah, we've got some problems. But
when they're talking, you know, when
oh, and bars. I didn't mention bars. Get yourself a good bar. I like the 22 Days bar. It's a hemp protein, 220 calories.
I gotta write that down.
Yeah, get yourself a bar. But I need you to get a bar that's around 200 calories that has protein, and it can't have the trans fat or the artificial sweeteners or all the high fructose corn syrup. A 22 Days bar. It's from a company called Greens. My friend Marco Borges actually is responsible for making it. He's Jay-Z and Beyonce's trainer. And also a registered dietitian. This guy is awesome. 22 days bar. Hemp protein, really clean greens, really good for you. Another great grab, go. Done. Okay. Gone. Out. All right.
Moving on. Yeah, we will move on. You know, we should start taking some calls.
Mm.
All right. We'll be right back.
again?
The Love Doctor is in.
The Love Doctor is in with Jillian Michaels.
Yeah.
Now, in a past show, Jillian talked about how she was able to guide a lot of her friends through their love relationships. And then Jillian made a point of calling Heidi, her partner, and saying, Heidi, do you think this is... And Heidi, I still can't believe Heidi agreed, but said... that yes, you are good with helping people.
Yeah.
So I will stop talking. We have our inaugural, I can't say the word. Nicole is waiting to speak to you.
Nicole, the Love Doctor is in, buddy. Talk to me.
Hi, Jillian.
How are you?
First, I have to say my sister's going to freak the hell out because we all love you.
Oh, thank you, buddy.
When she hears this, and then I met some friends from your cruise.
Oh.
And we still keep in contact through Facebook.
Oh, I love that.
I'm going to post this shit once I get on, and they're going to go nuts.
I love it. Well, I'm glad to hear it, buddy. What's going on?
Okay, well, I'm 27. I was working full-time, but I quit because so it's time for me to do what I wanted to do for myself, thanks to you and a lot of inspiration from the outside world.
Nice.
And so I'm back in school for interior design.
Okay.
And I keep busy with that. And I like to hang out with my friends and I like to take care of myself. And I'm doing homework and I'm like have my own hobbies and I'm volunteering. And I just have a lot to do. And I know it's a good excuse to stay single, but then also... when I'm ready to date now, and just finding the time to, like, okay, take an hour to meet someone new is kind of exhausting, and like working myself up to do it, I don't feel like it, but I don't know. How do you have, because you're a busy woman, you do a lot of stuff, mm-hmm. So how do you even first start to date someone and then even get into a relationship when
so you think it's because you're so busy that you're not dating?
Oh, no. I use that as an excuse.
Right, okay.
Before, but then even now, just thinking about it, I'm like, oh, God, do I have to meet this girl because I don't know her? And then investing time in something that I don't know how it's going to go.
Okay. Okay, so you keep yourself really busy, which is clever because you're never actually having to sit in that quiet space. And when you do, all kinds of feelings come up.
Yeah.
And I know this because whenever I'm not running 1,000 miles an hour and I have a day where I have maybe a phone interview and, you know, some emails to answer, I'm like, what am I supposed to do with myself today? You know what I mean? I'm like, oh my God. Oh my God. You know, and like the baby will be asleep, Lou will be in school, and I'm like, oh, and it kind of all that stuff that you manage to kind of keep at bay,
by
keeping yourself distracted in other areas will come up. So right now, you know, you're volunteering, you're hanging out with buddies, you're back in school, and you're like, I am busy. Woo, I'm so busy. And then when you think about, oh, having to take the time to meet somebody or make yourself vulnerable, you already feel exhausted just at the thought of it.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you keep yourself so busy that it's like, well, I don't have the time. So you've got that excuse. And you keep yourself so busy that the lack of it or the feelings on why you're avoiding it are not able to really come up and be processed.
Mm.
So if I was to sit here now and say, all right, you need to cancel whatever it is you have on Friday night and meet this new person, what immediately comes up for you other than, oh my God, I'm exhausted at the thought? Like, just free associate with what feelings come up.
I think a lot of nervousness because I'm introverted by nature. So then knowing it starts off with the small talk and you can't go into like the deep stuff and like, I just don't know how to sit with someone and be like, so, how's the weather today?
Like, it's so
really cold. It just feels so awkward, and I hate being awkward.
Okay. Here's what I would say. I feel like what you're telling me is you need to go into a situation, and you can't be yourself, and no wonder you're feeling exhausted. You feel like you can't talk about the deep stuff. You're needing to sit here and make small talk. about stuff that you don't really care about.
Yeah.
And of course you're going to feel exhausted. Anybody who's not being themselves is having to like put up a front and put up a facade. And then, but when you're with your friends and when you're volunteering and when you're at school, you're authentic and you have a limitless amount of energy. So
yeah.
Then we got to ask the next question. Why do you feel like you can't be yourself with a person who is you're engaging in a romantic dialogue with or dynamic?
I think because I'm afraid to come off too intense. Like, because most people, they're so used to, or the people that I've been on dates with, they're used to, you know, what they say you should do on a first date. You don't talk about the religion or the politics or the, and, but that's what interests me, like knowing someone on that deeper level. And I understand that first you have to get to know this. I don't know if you have to get to know this long stuff, but that's what it the trend seems to be. And that's just not where I fit in.
Okay. So the first thing you have to do is stop trying to be something you're not. All right.
Yes. Now, I'm working on that.
But then in doing that, I don't even want you to work on that. I need you not to work on that. That needs to be a decision that I need you to make right now, is come what may. So ready? Okay. Here's what you're going to be thinking right now. Well, I'm not in a relationship right now anyway. Uh-huh. I don't know this person that I'm going to meet, and I don't care about them because I don't know them. So if I'm myself and they don't like me, oh well. I've nothing ventured, nothing gained. And what I've learned right now is if I'm myself and they don't like me, thanks for letting me know. Let me move on. And or if I'm myself and they do like me, well, awesome. We can move forward. But you have nothing to lose by being who you are. So yeah. Instead of going, oh, my God, it's so scary. You, honey, you're already single. So there's nothing to lose. Does that make sense?
It does.
OK, so I need you to really gain that perspective in your mind of I'm single right now and I'm OK with it. So I have nothing to lose by being who I truly am. Mm-hmm. Now, what I want to know are two things, and I'm wondering if it might be a combination of both. Number one, are you afraid that if they see who you really are, they will reject you, and that will make you feel like, okay, I'm really unlovable, so I don't engage because I'm too busy. But your fear is if you do engage and you are who you are, you'll get rejected, and it will validate this deep, dark fear that you're unlovable. And or is it that you're afraid you'll be disappointed in them and be left with a feeling of hopelessness, I'm dying alone? Is it both? Is it one? Is it the other?
It could be just a little bit of both, but not like on, because I know I'm not on the, well, in the past I did struggle with that, like thinking, okay, I'm not good enough, all those feelings, but I've worked past that. Well, I've worked past that a lot.
You've worked past it in areas of your life where you're more confident. But in a romantic relationship or dynamic, you are supremely vulnerable.
But it's not. It's kind of annoying when I keep getting disappointed. It's like, there's nobody out there. That's how it feels like sometimes.
Okay.
Because I have really high standards, and I like, there's just what I like, and I haven't found what I like, and it's kind of frustrating.
Okay. So I need you now then, let's talk about the disappointment and the frustration. All right. I need you now to shift your perspective. And I want you to think about what life would be like with somebody that you did mesh with. Granted, nobody's going to be perfect. No one's going to be everything to you. No one's going to be your entire world. And nor should they. That's an impossible pressure to put on any other human being. But what's it going to be like to have somebody that you do gel with, that you do sync up with psychologically, emotionally, intellectually, physically? Like, what's that going to be like? That would be awesome, right? Can you stop and think about that person that gets you, that person that you can laugh with, that person that you can share and experience life with? Can you really think about how great that would be? Can you create that feeling and that vision in your mind?
Yeah.
Then what I want you to do is say, it doesn't matter how much disappointment, because ultimately I might need to kiss 9 frogs, but I will find that person. And you do sort of need to go for the needle in the haystack. And you are going to kiss a lot of frogs, honey. But anything worth having is not going to come without sacrifice and hardship. And that goes for weight loss. It goes for professional success and for a healthy romantic relationship. So I need you to think like, all right, the positive outcome here is worth some of these hassles along the way. And then when you go, okay, Jill, I've really worked on feeling worthy and feeling good enough. Well, what you're telling me is this has been an issue for you in the past then?
Yeah.
Okay. How so?
It just has. Probably until about last year.
All right, great.
I was doing the whole trying to do everything to make others happy, the being the person that I thought people wanted instead of being myself. But then I shredded all that shit, and I was like, okay, no, it's time for me to really do what I... be authentic, yeah.
Okay, honey, listen to what you just said to me. I was living my life in the way, trying to be who I thought everybody else wanted me to be. You just said to me 5 minutes ago that you have to go on these dates and you've got to make small talk and talk about things that you think you're supposed to talk about. You're already telling me that you're going back into that old pattern of feeling like you have to be something that you're not.
Yeah.
So while you've managed to really make progress with this professionally and in your friendships, when you take it to that next level of exposure and vulnerability, you have not progressed. So deep down inside of you, there is a fear that a blow and a rejection at this level will stunt you, will absolutely stagger you, will crush you.
Well, I've kind of had the blow last year, and it didn't do me too bad.
Okay, and that's what I need you to look at. That's the next step, is going, okay, have I been rejected before? Did I survive it?
Yes.
You know, is this about me, or is this about the other person?
Yeah.
Everybody has been rejected. Everybody has had their heart broken. Everybody goes through that. It's not that I'm not good enough. This just wasn't meant to be. Or maybe I attracted a person that wasn't right for me. And here's what I need you to know. And you kind of got to go into this, honey, with like, you got to really muscle up for it. You got to kind of psych yourself out and say, I'm going to go on this date or whatever it's going to be, and come hell or high water, I'm going to be myself. Because if I don't, A, it's going to end anyway. B, if I'm not myself, ultimately they're going to find out who I am, and it's going to, you know, like I said, it's going to end later, but you will have wasted time and energy. But you have nothing to lose because you don't know this person, don't care about this person, and what they think of you doesn't mean anything. You cannot allow yourself to be validated by a person that you met for 1 hour or 2 hours over a coffee or a cocktail who does or doesn't call you back. You have a lifetime with yourself. You know who you are. You know how strong you are. You know how smart you are. And you know how capable you are. And you need to really sit firmly in that internal compass and allow the other areas of your life where you've been successful and where you're loved to really remind you of that. Your good friends, you know, what you're doing in school, all these things need to bring you back to how smart you are, how accomplished you are, and how capable you are. Go through that list of things you've achieved and things you've accomplished to remind yourself and root yourself firmly in your worth. So that if this person, you know, sets your house on fire, it's not going to end your day. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay. So you're going to go into this. You're not going to put on airs. You're going to practice the same bravery that you've practiced professionally and in your friendships in a relationship dynamic. You're going to go over all the ways that you're strong and you're lovable and you're deserving and the evidence that you have in your existing life. So if it doesn't work out, you've lost nothing because you're single and you're strong enough to know you've been through it before and didn't die. So you've got that. We can get rid of that fear. And you're rooted firmly in everything that you've been successful with up until now. Now, positively motivate yourself and say, I am going to do this until that person, I meet that right person. And like I told you, you will kiss a lot of frogs. I kissed a lot of frogs. I mean, Jesus, 34 years of frogs. So, but my point is that person is out there, honey. Nothing ventured, nothing gained. Just like with your health, just like with your profession, and the same is with your love life. So no more excuses. You get out there, you go on a date this week, and you talk about religion and politics. So help me God.
Nicole, get out there.
God damn it, Nicole. Or else.
Man, this love doctor is in. This is
serious.
This is like Jillian Michaels' love doctor.
Yeah. I'm on fire. Look out, people. And we want a full report.
Oh, I think I could do that.
Do you have a date? Is there a perspective on the horizon?
I think I can make one, possibly.
Atta girl! That's what I want to hear. And then we want a full report back, Nicole. You email me back at this email, and I will find it, and we're gonna talk again.
Oh, great! Sounds good.
All right, buddy. Thanks for talking to us.
Thanks, love, doctor.
No problem.
Bye.
Bye, Nicole.
This is a whole new show. I think maybe we need a spinoff.
Maybe it's a spinoff. Maybe. Hmm. You mean just do like a whole entire pot? You mean, or like a whole new show?
Oh. I can't wait to call Giancarlo.
Of course.
Do you know what the next book's going to be? The Love Doctor is in.
Kills you,
he will kill himself.
You crack me up. It's not just like, we'll do a segment maybe once a month. Now it's a whole new show.
Yeah.
It's like an entire show.
Yeah.
Well, I thought that I'm looking forward to hearing. I'm looking forward to the report.
Me
so we
too.
Must make a note. We must make a note to check back, and then we call Nicole back.
Well, you always write stuff down.
I write
on that
stuff
paper
down.
And you try to look busy. Write it down.
No, but I am busy. I am busy, and I do write things down. So I will.
Okay,
this is good. Okay, so well, there's the love doctor is in for at least today.
Yeah.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore. Because it's here. And it's funny. And I love you.